Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him. God is so good and wonderful to us. He loves His people so much, and I thank God that He does. You know, the Lord is mightily moving by His Spirit. You know, the one scripture says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, seeking those that He can be a blessing to. Now, He want to show Himself strong on their behalf. I know I chopped the scripture up, but you get the point. You know, that's the heart of God. If I was out here stranded in the world, it's kind of like being stranded on an island by yourself. No help from the mainland, no help from people. You don't know how to make soap. You don't know... You don't have a knife, you know. If you had a knife, that'll help a whole lot. But when you're stranded on an island and you don't know what's dangerous, you don't know what you can eat, you got to figure some things out and you're stranded. And if you try to leave the island, you got to get past the current, or you can be dashed into the coral and get cut to pieces. Or nevertheless, if you have to have food and you have to know how to get fresh water, there's a way to do it. If you don't know survival skills, you're messed up. Well, when you're not in the kingdom of God, you're in a worse condition. There are many things that seem good, but it's illusion. And then the kingdom of God, because of false science, the things of God is considered fantasy in the mind of the educated people, that's educated according to this world. Now, yesterday's broadcast, I was talking about your kingdom abilities. And within it, I showed how the things God did for us, and also how the enemy works. At the end of the broadcast, I showed how the Lord had me showing how the enemy used false science, false religion, and to form false education, which is controlled thought. And then from false science and false religion, you get false education. And that's three fiery darts that grew into a forest fire in much of the earth. So not everybody bought into it. Everybody didn't buy into evolution. See, before the enemy could introduce something like abortion, and he had some more things on the agenda, he got to get the world in a darker place before he can do it. See, when you have false education, false religion, false science, false education third. When you get that in place, you have a false political system. The people won't vote for people that'll do right. They'll vote for people that's like them. That's in their culture. So now you're in control of the political paradigm. You know, you're control of the political system, and that's what Satan has been doing. And you know, a goat always try to get to the highest place of the precipice on the land. You know, he want to get on top. The sheeps don't. They doing good. They got peace, but the goat got to get up there where on the high ground. And Satan's the same way. Now, Henry Groove is the one that pointed that out to me. I didn't think about that because I don't know much about sheep and goats. But, you know, when he said that, it made sense. And I thank God. You know, I thank God for good men of God. You know, I don't know it all. And people that know it all, they got a bigger problem than they know. But there are some wonderful men and women of God out there doing what God gave them to do, and miracles are being done, and that's our heritage. So throughout the discourse of, you know, yesterday's broadcast, yesterday was June the 28th, 2022. Today is Wednesday, June the 29th, 2022. And it's a Wednesday. Wednesday, June 29th, 2022. And yesterday's broadcast, Your Kingdom Abilities, I showed how the enemy, through you know, it mainly began in the Dark Ages. It didn't begin in the Dark Ages, but in the Dark Ages, that's when a culmination of Judaism and world religions formed against the church, and they used wicked kings to do it. And so, in the first stage, when the church was first introduced, the world was receiving salvation. There were many people were coming out of it. They were tired of the world system, but again, the Jews they introduced something that got people back into the confines of this realm. That's what cold religion always does. It doesn't matter if it's Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, atheism. All of it keeps man locked into a system under Satan's control. Even Judaism. Judaism, when you take Christ out of it, it's just another day of religion. Salvation by works. And then principles that produce pride. That's the end. The reason people went rogue and didn't love Jesus, they were opposite. I asked the Lord his definition of pride. He said it's opposition. Now, I didn't look in the dictionary for it, but you know what pride is. Pride, you know, proud people, they try to save face. They do whatever it takes to look good. And it's the opposite of who God is. Hatred comes out of pride, so pride is worse than hatred. Hatred is a lower form, but see, hatred of itself, people don't just go around hating. That comes after you've been leavened. Pride does people getting pride over something that they like. Like Lucifer, he was wise, that's a gift. He was beautiful, that's a gift from God. But he wanted praise. That's where his pride came from. He wanted praise and then he wanted power. So, if you love praise of man, that's pride. If you love power, that's pride too. You know, and the automotive companies, they make a mint off people. They make the biggest, baddest, fastest. And people just want it. They drool over power. But see, it don't take all that. The things of God is what you got to watch. That's the things that's going to put you over. That's where the real power is. It's in the love of God. Jesus said, it's better to give than to receive. And Paul talked about that. He said that Jesus said, it's better to give than to receive. To put others first, to be a blessing to people. That's where the real power is, and that's covenant with God, who is all powerful. And Satan wanted to just take his power. He wanted to take everything, jump the line. You know, he wanted to take what God didn't give him. So he was way out of order. He betrayed his purpose. He had no purpose, because that's no purpose. He was repurposed. Everything that's think like him is going to be sucked into the vacuum of this world. And so Satan has a purpose, but it's not God's original purpose. It's the opposite. It's a purpose of opposition. Satan will cause things that hate God to fall away. That's how it works. And anybody that buy into these things, they will become like him. You can't go in the world and not be like Satan. You got to, in order for you to cross the line and defy God, you got to have a leaven of hatred in you. Or you can't. Love has a restraint. Love has positive bondage, where you know, hey, that's wrong. I'm not going to do that. I don't want that. I want to do what's right. It has its own restraint system, but it's a restraint system that causes freedom. Now Satan has negative bondage. His doctrine is do whatever you will do, whatever you want to do, and get rid of that restraint. All right, that's negative bondage, because now that causes you to be his slave, and he knows this. He's a slave to his own sin. He can't stop sinning either. It's his nature. And if you don't want to have his nature, don't do what he does. You know, years ago, A.G. Gasser said, if you don't want to be poor, look and see what poor people are doing, and don't do that. Don't spend all your money before you get it. You know, don't be wise with money. Be wise with things. Think, put thought into what you do. Don't do what poor people become poor, and they stay poor because of their routine. And we're going to talk more about that, not on the poverty side, but this today's broadcast, the Lord gave me the title before I started. It's called Rejectable Things. I'm going to show you what the Lord's going to show us what to reject in this broadcast. Everything of Satan is rejectable. But you got to know to reject it, and you got to see it for what it is so that you will reject it. Now, Satan loves to use illusion. I told my wife, I talked to her about false bondage positive bondage and negative bondage. See, the things of God have positive bondage. You have the ability to reject what's evil, because you can see the end game of it. It's not the heart of God, so we're not going to do that. If you have the love of God, you will satisfy all of the law. You will fulfill it. That's how Jesus did it. He went to the wilderness, guided by the Holy Spirit, to be tempted of the devil, and he won. And Kenneth Copeland said he won once and for all. He was done with the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You know, it tickles me how God thinks things through. He always stay ahead of the curve, ahead of what Satan is doing. You know, we can't see around the curve, but God, he knows what's out there, and he knows what to do. There are some things only dedicated people can do. If you're half-hearted, you are not going to win the race. You're not going to run it. You're going to stop if you're half-hearted. You're not going to, if God wants me to do something, I have to remain wholehearted. That's why the first thing, when he first gives me something to do, I bless it. That's the first thing I do. When I do a broadcast, I bless it. I ask God's blessings over it. I speak God's blessing over it. Because whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. I loose the blessings of God. I protect the word. That's the second thing I do. I protect my charge. When the Lord give me fresh revelation that's new to me. If you go tell a doubtful person, they'll blow that candle out. You know, imagine the revelation is like a candle. You know, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. You know the scripture. But, you know, when revelation comes, it's like a small flame on a candle. It's burning. It's faith. It's like the mustard seed. It's small, but it's there. And it's powerful. And it's able to remove a mountain. So while I have the charge of revelation, and I'm in full agreement, I'm in covenant agreement with it, before I talk to doubtful people and the challenges of the world, I scorn it. See, a scorn is something you put over the flame to protect it from the wind. Now, in the meantime, I'm asking the Lord more about it. And that flame begins to be more fervent. And once it becomes like a torch, it don't matter whether I have a scorn or not. The word has grown roots in my heart, so to speak, so that I have the charge of that revelation. And I bless it. I receive it. I hold on to it. I speak it. Now that's how you grow, the word grows deep. When you speak it, when you speak that life, and when I'm on to something that other people may not be aware of, I speak it so I can become more dedicated. If you're half-hearted, you're gonna give up somewhere once challenged. So what is Jesus saying in the parable of the sower? The word, if you got good soil, the word will do what it's supposed to do. It'll grow roots in you. It'll become who you are at your will. It won't be against your will. The word will not act against your will. You got to understand that. You got to choose it. You got to want it. Then it'll grow roots in you. Then you'll become dedicated. Then you'll become unmovable, steadfast, unmovable. And then you'll always abound in the things of God, in that order. So when the word, when a revelation becomes like a torch, you know, they have torches that can cut metal underwater, under the sea, miles under the sea, or very deep. They can cut, they can make bridges under the sea, and that remain. And they can, if they wanted to, they could build a bridge across the ocean in some parts of it. So, now I wouldn't say the deep, they, you know, when people really want to do something, that is a way to do it. It's just, you know, they ran a cable from New York to England, to, you know, to Europe. And they tried it two or three times before they got it right. That took some serious planning. They had some good engineers, project managers. My hat's off to them guys. That was an undertaking. And they did it. Now, so when people want to do something, if they really want to do it, it's not impossible. That's a kingdom ability again. But today we're going to talk about rejectable things. I want you to see how the world works. Satan has to get you out of the kingdom of God. I say it this way because going out of the kingdom of God, that means you turn your back on the Lord, and it is. But he has to pull your attention to this realm. If he can get you to believe something enough to pull your attention back to this realm, that's where he can win. And people didn't know this. That's why Judaism without Jesus is deadly. You're not authentic because you don't circumcise. You don't observe the feast days. You eat unclean things. Well, they had Jesus. They didn't. When you have the destination, what do you need with road signs? You don't. If you're going to Tennessee and you're already there, you're about to watch the Tennessee play Alabama. You already at the stadium. What do you need with all the signs that tell you how to get from Alabama to Tennessee? You ready to watch the Tide and the Volunteers play football. You're not thinking about a sign because you are there. Now, when you have Christ, circumcision represents the dedication of a circumcised heart, a heart of covenant. Fleshly circumcision is a reminder that you're in covenant with God towards something, and you really don't know what it is. And then a Savior's coming. You find out a Savior's coming. Oh, the Savior's coming. God told Ahaz about Emmanuel. See, he was sitting in Moses' seat. And when I looked him up in Chronicles, he was half-hearted. He goes both ways. He couldn't tell. The Lord said, let's look at it. Let's just look at it. I always mess it up if I don't remember the scriptures all the way. There's so much in every detail of the scripture. And that's a scripture I look at a lot. See, in Ahaz's day, here, this is a prime example of what it's like to be half-hearted. in one foot he was standing, and another foot he was falling. Now watch, this will actually give the example I want to give too for this, to understand rejectable thing. You got to be wholehearted dealing with God and the things of God and handling the things of God. Verse 1 of Isaiah 7 says, "And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it." So he was winning his wars. He had something going. He had something for God to work with. All right, verse 2 says, "And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim, and his heart was moved." You see that? The king's heart was moved. "And the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind." See, if the man in Moses' seat is moved, the people are moved. If the leader is, this works for anything. If the pastor get in fear, the people are tempted very heavily to get in fear, unless they reject it. Fear is a rejectable thing. You can be in the congregation. If you're looking to Jesus and you're dedicated to him and covenant revelation that you're receiving, when other people are swayed, you'll stand steady and you'll know who you are in Christ. And you'll outshine the fear of man. See, Jesus said, "Let your light shine." You're not in fear. So when people wonder about why you're not in fear, your very whatever you speak, because you're not in fear, will make more sense than what they're doing. But this is how things work. It was told the house of David, saying, "Syria is confederate with Ephraim." He got sudden bad news, and his heart was moved. And the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. They all felt the same way. "Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear Jashub thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool of the highway of the fuller's field. And say unto him, Take heed and be quiet." If you're in fear, be quiet. Don't speak it. He said, "Take heed, be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger risen with Syria and the son of Remaliah. And because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel." See, he's an old backslider that think like they do. And this is supposed to frighten the king, and it was working. "But the Lord said, Thus saith the Lord, It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass." Now he has a chance to receive revelation. This could be revelation to him, and it can encourage him. And if he let it grow roots in him, he'll do just fine. Even though he did idolatrous things in the past. And I don't know what he did after this. And then the Lord explains it. Now see, when you read the Chronicles of Ahaz, in the Chronicles, you see some of the crazy stuff he did. Verse 8, "For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of," you know that, "the head of Syria is Damascus," that's a weak place. "The head of Damascus is Rezin," that's a weak king. "And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people." See, they're all going down the tubes. You don't have to be afraid of them, Ahaz. "And the head of Ephraim is Samaria," a weak place. "And the head of Samaria is Remaliah, son, a weak king. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established." If you don't receive what God is saying right here and now, you shall not be established. "Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth in hell, or in the height above in heaven. Make up your mind. Ask for a sign. I will encourage you." But look what a half-hearted man would do. "But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord." You have to receive correction. You have to receive revelation in order to go forward unto perfection. But he said, "I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord." So now he's clinging to the confines of this natural world. This is Satan's camp. This is where Satan wins. You have to go into the spiritual realm. You through revelation in order to win against the enemy. But he tried to handle it with his own strength. with what he knew. He didn't reject the darkness. That's why he did this. Now watch what happens. Verse 13. And he said, "Hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign." This is Isaiah speaking on the behalf of the Lord. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the good and choose the evil. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land shall be that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings." In other words, God has a covenant that's going to take care of this problem. You can benefit or you can lose everything. Verse 17, "The Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come, from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria." See, the king of Assyria is going to come one day and take and do away with these things. See, the king of Assyria was about to take Israel into captivity. He's telling Ahaz these things. But see, if you fight without the help of the Lord, you'll be like the people who tried to go to Canaan land and take it after Moses said, "Don't go now. You're going to die in the wilderness." Then they tried to go fight. See, Satan makes you feel, he told me this, the Lord gave me this in a writing I did years ago. He makes you feel strong when you're weak and weak when you're strong, to lead you away from all that God says and trap you with wrong. So when you're in covenant, he tried to tempt you to feel weak. But when you're in his camp, when you've drifted into his realm, then he tried to make you feel strong. And that's illusion. You're going to die now, which they did. They went and got routed. They got killed and they got routed, and they came back wounded and hurt when they tried to go fight the Canaanites without God. But when God was with them, then they said, "We can't do it." They were operating in Satan's realm. They should have been rejecting every doubtful thought. That's what doubt always do to folks. It takes you out of the heavenly realm back into the world. And that's how the enemy forms false science, false religion, false education. All of it is controlled thought. So it's your job to not figure it out, but to trust God and reject it as you know it. If you try to figure it out, okay, everything you've been taught in public school and sometimes even private school, it was challenged by false science, false religion. People had to break through to get free of this stuff. It happens everywhere. When this nation was formed, people had to break. I don't want to be under the king's rule. I'm going to follow Jesus, and I'm going to govern my life accordingly. But if they said something that the king didn't like or the church didn't like, they'd have you killed. So they grew tired of this, and they went to the new land. And we're going to form a new policy. We're going to be free without a king. It was proven that kings become satanic. David didn't. But guess what happens to people that like David? They die. And then their spoiled brat children become the king, and they're pliable. You know, if you read the history of Israel, you'll see the enemy is always trying to get to that point of power. Josiah's grandmother tried to kill him. Adonai tried to kill Josiah. Thought she killed him, but the nurse hid him. And then an insurrection rose up. They destroyed her with her Baal worshiping self. Pride is full of poison. Pride, if you want to understand the opposite of God, is pride. See, hatred is it forms after pride. It takes a level of hatred to get it back over in the Satan's realm again. Now, the Lord, he gave Ahaz a chance. Now let's go, I'm done with Ahaz. Let's go back to James. See, the principles of God, that's where we live at. We you're in the kingdom of God. Now you got to understand how it works. You know, that scripture in Luke, I think it's Luke 16. We'll go there first. Jesus said that, okay, this is about the unjust steward, the parable of the unjust steward. I'm not going to go into all of it. But the unjust steward was wise. He said, to get out of his problems, you know, he said, he went, if you know the story, he went to his debtors and let them pay half. Verse 6 in Luke 16, see, I start there. He said, and he said 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, how much oil is thou? He said 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take thy bill, write fourscore.